You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Getting Rid of Hindrances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Hebrews the 12th chapter and verse 1, and it reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." For the sake of time, going right to the New International Version, NIV version of the same verse. And it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Get rid of everything that hinders so you can run the race that is marked for you. And we're continuing to teach from this series, Getting Rid of Hindrances. And we have said that a hindrance is anything that slows you down, weighs you down, or impedes your progress. There is a race. There is a mission. There's a purpose. There's an assignment. There's a track. There's a destiny. There's a purposeful lane that God has each of us on. And even though you may be making progress, you may not be going at the pace that you should be going at because you have hindrances in your life. And Paul asked a question of the Galatians in Galatians 5 and 7. And he says, "You did run well. You were running well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Who did hinder you? Not what did hinder you. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so we realize there are people that can hinder us. Do y'all realize that? There are people that can hinder you. How does it say that? Everything good for you? Everything good to you? It's not good for you. How many of y'all know the same thing applies to people? Everybody, every person who's good to you is not good for you. And sometimes you find that out way too late. And sometimes you find that out and you just wanna do it anyway. Maybe it won't turn out that bad. Like you just gonna burn the calories in the cake. You're working on something, but I'm going to eat the cake anyway. But we're going to take authority over the calories. Okay. I told y'all it was on social media woman was praying and she had some really funny outfit on, but she was praying hard too. She was leading corporate prayer and said, "We take authority over this, over fat." She was going in to fat cells and calories, and we say, "Be gone in the name of Jesus." Now, that ain't going to work, y'all. Okay, sometimes you're just fooling yourself. You know it's not good for you. Amen. There's no such thing as binding the calories. Okay, amen. It's the same thing about certain people. Certain people, you know those people aren't good for you. Amen. You know, certain relationships aren't good for you. Can I tell you, let me see, I got to look around and see who's here tonight. Because I told you, I try not to talk about people if you're here. Okay, if you're watching on streaming, text me right now, because you might be watching. I try not to talk about. But years ago, there's people I just love and I like, and have had many years. But years ago, there was a particular person in our church, and they're really, really a sweet person. They're funny and everything, and you get them, you just really have a good laugh with them. But every time I talk to them, you end up gossiping. You know, and they would get to talking about people, and I'm laughing with them. I said, "Really?" This is years ago. Everybody said years ago. And so I had to make up my mind. This is a church member. I had to make up my mind. Don't just say, "Hey." No, really. Because whenever I end up talking to them, you end up gossiping. And you don't know what I'm talking about. Now, they're a good person. They just wasn't good for me. Because I can't be gossiping about people. Come on now. Especially when you're on stage. You can't afford to be talking about people because people are looking at you all the time. Some of y'all want to talk about me right now. I don't care. Okay? And so watch this. So that doesn't mean that you totally cut off the person. It means you change the proximity and the frequency of your interactions with the person. That's so good. Sometimes you got to change the proximity, meaning how close you are to that person. And sometimes you got claims, you have to change the frequency of how often you're with that person. I told y'all, I don't know if I said this to, I can't remember. I was teaching about this recently or telling someone this. There was someone several years ago. They happen to be an attorney, and they live here in the city, and their husband lives in another state. And they have been married like 5 or 6 years. And I said, how's that working? They said, well, because, you know, they would see each other. He'd come here on weekends. She'd go there on weekends. They'd do it for them. I said, how's that working? She said, oh, it's just wonderful. I said, huh? She said, it's wonderful. She said, we never argue. We never argue. We don't have any disagreements. I said, how that work? How many married folks you want to know how you can never argue, never have disagreements? I'm going to tell you how you do it. They live in one state, you live in another one. But that ain't a real marriage, is it? So she's explaining to me, every time we get together, we just happy we together. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They say every time we don't have time to argue. We just busy loving on each other. Okay? Now, see, my point is sometimes it's easy to get along with people if you change the frequency of the interaction. Amen. You don't have to cut everybody off. Change how often you talk to them and how close you are to them. Amen. Otherwise, they can end up being hindrances to you. So we said people can be hindrances. And the first type of person we talked about who can be hindrances are strifeful people. It's like Abraham and Lot, Genesis 13. You want to get rid of strifeful people because strife will keep you from getting to the promises that God wants you to get to at the time you should. Last week, we started this. I want to continue tonight talking about these cynics. Cynics, cynical people who the Bible refers to as doubters and mockers. We said that cynics are people that are only motivated by self-interest. Cynical people believe that people are only motivated by self-interest. So they don't think that people are really, that people are out to do you good. Everybody's out to harm you. Everybody got a trick. Everybody got a gimmick. They don't believe they honor any sincere people of goodwill. They are distrustful of human sincerity and don't believe that anyone is a person of integrity. And that can especially happen when people get what they call church hurt. Okay? Everybody likes to talk about church hurt. One day maybe I'll write a book about pastor church hurt. Because nobody thinks pastors get hurt. And we the one got to be here. Y'all get hurt and you get mad and stay home. We get hurt, we got to come up here wounded. Wounded, hurt, crying, smile right through it and just keep on going and keep telling you, God is good all the time and all the time God is good. Amen. But anyway, we're talking about church hurt here. Okay. So when people get church hurt, now there's no good church, no good preachers, no good men and women of God. Okay. And so we said, and they become cynical. When cynical people are doubtful as to whether something's going to happen, whether your pursuits are worthwhile, cynics are negative, contemptuous, and mockers. Cynics are people whose hopes, dreams, and faith has been poisoned by their life experience. And we looked at John the Baptist. We saw how John the Baptist in Matthew 11, rather, he knew who Jesus was from his womb, from the mother's womb. He leaped inside his mother's womb when he got close to Mary when she was carrying Jesus, because he had a 6-month ministry who was to proclaim and be the precursor and tell everybody about Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. When he saw Jesus, he said, I'm not even worthy for you to baptize me. Rather, for me to baptize you, you should baptize me. Jesus said, no, you got to baptize me. And then they heard a voice from heaven from saying, this is my beloved son and whom I'm well pleased. And then when we picked it up in John 11, now he's starting to ask questions. Are you the one or should we look for another? Are you the one or should we look for another? But why? Now because he's in prison. So now because his circumstance is bad. He's in the midst of a negative situation. He's becoming cynical. Are you really the Savior? Are you really the Son of God? Are you really the Messiah? Because he had expectations of Jesus doing something that God had different plans about. And so now he becomes cynical. So we said, don't allow your life experience to become your theology. Don't let your life experience become your doctrine. We saw that David became cynical when he compared himself to wicked people. In Psalm 73, he said, look like, man, they're getting over like a fat rat. They're fat cats and they do all kinds of things. They don't treat people good. They damn God. They're full of pride and yet look like they have everything that they want. And yet look like that they don't have any trouble. They don't have any sorrow. And David said, I almost got messed up when I started looking at myself compared to them. And I'm here serving God, pleasing God, trying to live by the commandments, tithing, trying to live right, trying to do what God wants me to do, and they're trying to do none of that, and it looks like they're more prosperous than me. And so then he ends up saying in Psalm 73 and verse 15, if I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. In other words, I was thinking this, but you don't say it. That's the principle you have to know. You can't say everything you think. When we were in Maine, y'all know that some of these denominational churches, people just in the church because they just in the church. They can't stand the pastor. I don't understand that. Okay, can I tell you, if you can't stand me, don't come. We're trying to have a love thing going on here. Don't keep coming here. You can't stand me. Okay, but you know, in some of those denominational churches, they do that. I was here before he got here. My mama was here. He ain't gonna make me leave my church. And there was this woman when we were in Maine. She couldn't stand the pastor. She said all the time, I just can't stand him. He got diarrhea in the mouth. Remember that what she used to say? Got diarrhea in the mouth. In other words, she would just say he don't know what to say. Everything just come out. Okay? How many know you can't have diarrhea in the mouth? Amen. Sometimes you gotta process those thoughts and don't let them form into words. Amen. Matthew 6, around 26, he says, take no thought for your life, saying. Take no thought, saying. So how do you take a thought? By saying it. So all kinds of thoughts are going to come to your head, but you don't give it life by speaking it. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. You got to know what you're not trying to give life to by not speaking it. And so David said, I was going through this, but I realized, this is what he says in Psalm 73 and 17. Then I went into the sanctuary of God and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked, or I understood their end. He said, I realized God got them set up in a slippery slope. He said, they may look like they're on top now, but that thing gonna come down after a while. And I think it's a sad thing to live a life of on the surface of looks like you're prosperous and don't end well. I remember a message changed my life many years ago. I was at a minister's, a pastor's conference. And I can't remember who it was, but I remember the message. And he talked about finishing strong. Finishing strong. Because a lot of people start off good, but they don't finish strong. They don't leave a good legacy. Okay? Now I'm going to mention, you know, especially African Americans, there's certain people they just like our sacred cows. We ain't supposed to talk nothing about them. We ain't supposed to say nothing about them. So I'm going to go here, y'all. Okay? I know, you know, for a long time we couldn't say nothing about OJ. And I think y'all finally got convinced he killed old people. And the other we ain't supposed to say nothing about is OJ, the other J, MJ. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all like, now come on, Pastor, back up off that. He didn't do nothing, little boys. He didn't do nothing. MJ didn't do nothing. And then the one that's ripest and rawest to us is Bill Cosby. Somebody back up off of that, Pastor. I ain't scared of y'all. Okay. One thing I know, I still love Dr. Huxtable. That was one of the nicest, kindest, sweetest, most profound fathers I've ever known. Okay, or saw. Okay, Dr. Huxtable, he didn't drug nobody. He didn't rape nobody. He didn't molest nobody. Amen. Nobody can say about Me Too with Dr. Huxtable. Now, Bill Cosby, that's another story. Okay? We're laughing a little bit, but it's so sad. It's so sad to live your life at the pinnacle of success, having had being known as a philanthropist and scholarships named after you and all these things, to spend your latter years where you ought to just be rocking in a rocking chair and everybody talking about what a great icon you were, but now talking about how your life ends up because of the activity. That's not how you want to end up. See, the Bible says when you do the will of God, you abide forever. So you don't want temporary success. You want to finish strong. Look, somebody say, I'm going to finish strong. Amen. You can finish on top. The Lord can continue to bless you, continue to increase you more and more, you and your children. But the prosperity of the wicked, it said they'll be up today, but it's going to come to an end. I think I ended this last week talking about being a successful drug dealer. Okay, we all know how that ends. Amen. There's no, we all know that. There ain't no 85-year-old drug kingpins. Come on now. We all know how that goes. You either go to jail or you go to an early grave. Amen. So get rid of cynical people in your life and don't compare yourself to wicked, prosperous people. The Bible talks about the prosperity of the wicked. So prospering God's way is not the only way to prosper. You can prosper in wickedness, but it doesn't last. Amen? Let me move on and talk a little more about cynics. Because cynical people can derail your destiny and delay your dreams and prevent your promises. Delay your destiny, delay your dreams, and prevent your promises. DDP. Delay, derail your destiny, delay your dreams, and prevent your promises. Look at 2 Kings 7. In 2 Kings 7, there's a prophetic word that goes over the people. 2 Kings 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now, that doesn't mean much to us because most of us are not lining up trying to get some fine flour for a shekel. Nope, most of us, we could care less about getting 2 measures of barley for a shekel. You don't have any shekels in your pocket, okay? We don't use shekels, which was a measurement of money, okay? That doesn't mean anything to us. So I got to make this relevant, okay? So in order to make this relevant, imagine this prophetic word being, tomorrow about this time, at every Exxon, Citgo, and Shell gas station in South Carolina, gas will sell for $10 a gallon. Somebody felt that. Said, "Oh, he come out, baba. Ah, I receive." Tomorrow at this time, every house, no matter the size, will be sold for $10,000. Somebody said, "Somebody, you fill out your application right now." Okay. But this was that profound to them. It was, and it seemed so unbelievable. Look at verse 2. Then a lord, somebody who's in charge, on whose hand the king leads, one of the king's right-hand men, answered the man of God, or responded to the man of God, and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" One other translation says, "Even if the Lord made open the windows of heaven, could this thing happen?" You hear the cynicism? The prophetic word's coming, but that can't happen because it sounds too good to be true. But look what it says here. It says, and he said, so the prophet says to him, "Oh, because you're cynical," he said, "Behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof." I believe this could happen in a local church. I believe Pastor Marshall and I, we are always speaking prophetically over y'all. But a lot of y'all, you miss it. Or because every time we go to speak prophetically over you, we don't say, "Yee ba 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 shata da na ma 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 de yee ba ba sa yay 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 yay," I would say. Yea, I would say unto thee. But by the way, you know, there was a time, particularly in Word of Faith circle, where all the prophecies was rhyming. You remember that, honey? All the prophecies. Yea, the Lord would say, and even today, hey, you will play. Now, come on. What's romper room? But we're speaking prophetically all the time, but because we don't go through all those antics, some of y'all miss it. I started speaking prophetically over you during the offering. I said supernatural favor is in the room. God's going to open up doors for you. Rules going to get changed for you. But cynical people said, you always promising that. You always saying that. Ain't nothing happen. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, can this thing be? And cynical people, the other folks on your roll will have the testimonies of the promises, and I'll be reading their praise reports, and you'll never have one. Because you'll see it with your eyes, but your cynicism keeps you from receiving it. Even if the Lord will open windows in heaven, might this thing be? Well, yes. Because for those of us who were tithers, God promised he would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive it. And I just got a new revelation, because an application of that, room enough to receive it. Room enough to receive it also can be that you in your finite thinking, you can't even conceive this. But he was cynical and said, because of your cynicism, you'll see other folks with it, but you won't experience it. You have to make sure that when the word of God comes, you're ready to receive it. Listen, if I was you, every time a word come forth here, every good word, that's me. Praise God, I receive it. Lord God, cause favor. Thank you for favor, Lord. Glory to God. I've been prophesying and speaking over y'all. God going to bless you some random money. Some of y'all, we've been prophesying to you over you. I've been prophesying over the last couple months. Big money's coming to you. you don't just sit up in an atmosphere like that and say, "Oh, that's cute. That's nice." You know, just make you feel good. I just come here to get a little encouragement, then go around with my poor, pitiful life. The devil is a liar. When I come in here, this word will change things in my life. It'll make demons flee. It'll make angels of prosperity come my way. It'll put me in a posture to receive everything God wants to do in my life. So you got to be careful to not become cynical and be around cynical people. Cynics, see, when you hear prophetic words, you got to take it and receive it, and war with it. Look at 1 Timothy, 1 chapter, verse 18 through 20. 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Paul says to his son in the ministry, Timothy, he says, "Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they what? Those prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May those prophetic words help you fight well in the Lord's battles." Glory to God. He said, "Remember everything I prophesied over you."
Hindrances can come in many different forms. Sometimes you may not even recognize them. Bishop Herbert Bailey helps you to identify and get rid of the hindrances that may be causing roadblocks in your life. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Getting Rid of Hindrances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.